find it difficult to make time for your marriage? Do you find in the midst of raising a bunch of small kids or working or even running a business from home, your marriage ends up being the thing that takes the back seat the most? Today on the Possibility Mom Live, I'm going to be joined by the beautiful Kathleen LeBlanc, who is the co-founder of the Catholic Date Night. And we're going to be chatting about how to make time for and actually enjoy your marriage, even if you're an entrepreneur. I have been married almost 16 years. It is kind of bananas when I think about that. We got married in 2007, and I really hope my math is accurate. I'm pretty sure that's 16 years this year, or maybe it's 17. I never do math. And I forget how old I am all the time. Like, I'm like, wait, what year was I born? 1984. Okay, I can do math. I'm pretty sure it's 16 years. And I will just share that the first few years of my marriage, I entered into it with what I now understand in the coaching kind of world are called manuals. So I had manuals for what marriage should look like. Let me give you a couple of examples. This is a really silly one. I had a manual that it was like a non-negotiable. A manual, by the way, is like the same way your iPhone comes with a manual and it tells you don't put it in over, you know, whatever, blank degree heat, don't drop it in water, blah, 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 that kind of thing. It's like instructions for how something should operate. I had all kinds of manuals for how we should spend our Sundays. In my mind, they were packed full of activities, mass, and then like brunch, and then like a farmer's market, and then maybe like dinner at a friend's house. And I remember just being like, wait, you're not totally on board with every single Sunday being programmed to every single minute? Like, and I was so, I remember being so like mad. Like, what do you mean? This does not jive with you. This is like my perfect Sunday. Another manual I had for sure was like how we would even do things like prayer as a family. I had definite manuals around this is exactly what it has to look like. You have to lead everything, Josh. I had so many manuals around like who would initiate things, what it looked like for, I don't know, just like practices to get put in place. Oh my gosh, even music, the use of music during prayer. I was like, what do you mean you don't want to use praise and worship every 5 seconds that we pray together? Like, I just had so many manuals. And I think this is pretty common. Like, I think many married people with a little bit of years behind them, like, would probably say the same thing, corroborate that, yeah, you go into marriage with expectations. It's kind of, I think, normal. And so what I really think is very helpful is when we go into those early years of marriage, especially, almost knowing it's going to be hard. And I feel like that's what we used to be very involved in marriage prep in our home parish for many, many, many years. We were like one of the couples that would lead the table, right? And if I could go back to the time when we were doing that, I would literally just tell my table, please just expect this to be hard. Like, it's not a failure of your marriage. It's not a failure of your, you know, choice of who you pick, nothing like that. It's just two human beings coming in with 20-ish or how many years you've been alive, like to the marriage of habits and preferences and, you know, desires and just even sometimes like unconscious things that you think are the best way to do things that aren't even conscious. And so I really, really love when I see people like Kathleen LeBlanc and her husband, Jesse, who have created things very specifically for those early years of marriage. And I think there's lots out there for like money, for example. And there's lots out there maybe for communication styles. Like I'm just trying to think of some of the things that I accessed in my first years of marriage. There's lots about money. But like what I love about what they've created with the Catholic Date Night, and I'm so excited to share it with you, is they've just also introduced, how do you have fun? Like, how do you enjoy it? And so excited. Kathleen LeBlanc, welcome back to the Possibility Mom podcast. Hold on, let me unmute you. How you doing?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for having me here again, Lisa. I loved hearing about your and Josh's manuals and all of that. So funny.
I know you personally have heard the like, I want to go to a country fair and then I want to go. I know I've told you that one before. We've had that conversation.
Yes, we're very similar and our husbands are very similar.
It's just so funny. Like, I just, like, how do we get paired with, how do crazy people like us get paired? You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like forever. And remind me, I can't remember. Are you also, no, you're more melancholic, but like, yeah. Are you, what is Jesse's temperament?
He's a phlegmatic sanguine.
Okay. Yeah. Totally see that. So for those of you who don't know, that's very go with the flow. That's very like, does not like intensity. And then what are you?
Honestly, my melancholic, choleric, sanguine are very like even.
Yeah. So you are much more about, you're driven by doing things correctly, but also having control. And then you like people too, but same, Josh and I are, I am choleric, sanguine, pretty much evenly. He is melancholic, phlegmatic. So we're like opposites. Both of us, our marriages are opposite temperaments, which again, I just like laugh really hard. And there are so many advantages to that. And there's also so many challenges to that, but it makes me laugh really hard. Alrighty. For anyone who might not know you, and again, you are no stranger to the Possibility Mom podcast. You've been coached live by me on this podcast many times. You and your husband provided music for one of my virtual summits. You're going to be providing live music in person in Toronto for my upcoming conference, October 5 through 7 at Kinter College in Toronto. I cannot wait. I have not experienced your music live, I think, ever. Like, even when I lived in Toronto, I was trying to remember, did I ever... Like even mass, like I don't even think I've heard. Oh no, that's not true. Joe Zambone's wedding. So at Joe Zambone's wedding, yeah. I witnessed your beautiful abilities. It's very possible there were like other handful of times, but I just can't wait to just like sit in the brilliance of you and Jesse and your gifts and all the things. So for anyone who might not be familiar with you, Kathleen, just kindly introduce yourself.
Sure. So my name's Kathleen. I'm married to my husband, Jesse, and we live in Brantford, Ontario with our three little children. So I have a 4-year-old, 2-year-old, 1-year-old, and a 13-week-old in my belly. So we're very excited and also very overwhelmed.
Doing great.
Yeah. So I'm sure there's many moms out there in similar, you know, young baby stages, just trying to figure it out. We are too. It's amazing to me how like I used to look up to people with, you know, 4 or more young children and think, wow, like they have it. They're just like experienced mom. They know what they're doing. But now that I'm here, it's like, I still feel like I'm in the first child stage where you're like, what am I doing? So but yeah, so we are musicians. Our band is called Found Together. We lead worship. We write music. And we also, over a year, almost 2 years ago now, we launched the Catholic Date Night, which is a monthly membership to virtual date nights where you just hit play and we guide you through an interactive evening of fun, like games and discussion. And we hear an interview with a Catholic couple and we lead you in prayer together. And so it's really been so fun to meet so many amazing couples who most are in the same stage of life that we are, just wanting to find it, to make it easy to have a beautiful, intimate, but also fun evening together that you don't have to plan yourself. You just show up and we lead you through the rest. And so it's been really great.
You have probably said the word fun like 6 times.
Did I?
And again, I just love that about you. Like, again, there are many resources that one can access to improve their spiritual life or their marriage vocation, both Protestant, Catholic, all the things. But like, I really don't think I know of one that emphasizes fun as much as the two of you. I can think of lots of theological, very like, you know, just study and like scripture, and that's all very important. I'm not trying to discount any of that, but I cannot think of anything on the market where you can invest in something that will help your marriage that is going to bring a lot of fun. I really can't think of anything, but I have to pause for 1 second about this whole mom of four. That was the hardest time. That was my minivan meltdown time. Mm-hmm. Like that was my most, because if you are as fertile as Kathleen and I are, and so your kids are like very close together. So if I'm not mistaken, yours are, I think you beat me, quote unquote, in terms of like how far apart are your kids?
So my closest gap is 15 months, and then this gap will be 20 months.
Okay. So all of mine in the beginning were exactly 18 months, almost to the day. Like, don't ask me how that happened, but like literally, like I have an April baby, I have an October baby, I have an April baby, and then I have a November baby. So like very just clockwork in terms of how my fertility works. That was the most difficult time because your oldest is not old enough to kind of like help you. But what I found was right at school age. So you were right at that time, like right when they turned like 5 and, you know, whether you homeschool or you're not, but it just means sort of that age of independence where one could go to a classroom setting, that kind of thing. So around age 5, things started to change tremendously, like for the better, because my 5-year-old, I remember at that point, could like make a sandwich. You know what I mean? My 5-year-old could go to the bathroom, obviously unassisted, things like that. So I do remember, Kathleen, I just want to give you and all the moms out there who have several very, very small ones, that there is a real turning point I found once my first went to school. And then obviously the other ones start to catch up in terms of their developmental stage. Then you have 2 kids who can make sandwiches, you know, and I just remember very, very distinctly, I have distinct visual memories of being so pregnant on the sofa and just being like, I'm not moving. And then saying to my like little 6-year-old, go find the bread, go find the peanut butter. And it's interesting because I did have to be like, oh, there's peanut butter everywhere. And I just had to be like, well, it's either I got up and there wasn't peanut butter everywhere, or I let my child make the peanut butter and I'm fine that that happened that way anyway, but
yeah,
you are doing great. And it's
very awesome. Encouraging.
So tell us about, like, were you like sitting one night on your couch and you turned to Jesse and you were like, we need to start this thing. Like what was the evolution of the Catholic date night?
Well, great question. We realized in our own marriage that there was just kind of a lack of resources, kind of like you said, that were aimed at couples having fun, one thing, meeting each other, like other like-minded couples. Like we felt like we really lacked community of other couples that, I mean, we know a lot of people like across Canada, but just really wanting to have more of an intimate relationship with couples who are very like-minded. And then also just like resources for couples who like are in a good place, but they just want to go deeper. There's a lot of marriage resources for couples who are like on the rocks or like, you know, struggling, which that's very needed. But we didn't find there was a ton beyond like your marriage prep. Like you go, you have your marriage prep, and then you're in some of the hardest years yet, you know, like living together for the first time and like navigating fertility or loss or home ownership or career changes and, you know, all these new things that are very unique to those first few years of your marriage that if you aren't careful can really pull you away from that intimate relationship you have with your spouse and with God. And so we were like, well, if this is not something that we long for, maybe there's a way that we could bring people together and bring other experts together to help serve couples in the same stage of life that we are. Like we don't have, you know, training in like marriage counseling, anything like that. We're just regular people who love to have fun. We love the Lord. And so, and we love event. I love event planning. So I was like, let's just plan these events where couples can come and dive into their marriage and their vocation as a married couple to really see it as not just learn how to communicate, learn how to do budgeting, which are important. And we talked about things like that on the Catholic date night, but also like, how do we really make our marriage Christ-centered and full of joy? And so that's been our goal through the Catholic date night. And so we launched that January of 2 years ago.
I'm curious. I don't know why I'm like really curious about this, but like literally, did you have to convince Jesse, or was it like both of you were just so excited and kind of had it at the same time, or what was the sort of dynamic like in creating this?
Like we were talking about, he's phlegmatic. So, and he's also just, he's generally up for like anything. So he's not the kind of phlegmatic that like is negative. He's not a negative person by any means. He's the most positive person I know. So when you know, we knew that we wanted a way to use our music gifts and use our gifts of ministry in a new way, especially because we were home with our kids and it was harder for us to kind of get out and do a lot of things. We were in a new stage of life as like music ministers, and I was youth minister, he was youth minister. And so we were like, how do we use these gifts God has given us now in this stage? And so I know he was longing for that too. And so when this idea came with a lot of your coaching help, Lisa, to come up with something in a way that we could serve and like feel like we were giving in this new stage of our life. Obviously we were giving to our children, but as many of the entrepreneurs know, there's a longing beyond that too. So yeah, when we thought of this idea, like most of the people that we're in contact with that listen to our music, we're in the stage of life, how do we best serve them? It was serving their marriages. And so it was kind of a no-brainer, like, yeah, we could do this. And I'm more the person that's like, I have the idea and I'm so excited, but then I'm like, I need somebody to like pull me down to make sure that I'm like, are you sure we should do this? And he's like, yeah, why not? And I'm like, yeah, but there's probably like 100 reasons we shouldn't do it. But he's like, what's the worst that could happen, you know, kind of person where I'm looking for someone to kind of like knock me down a little bit, but he's not that person. So, which is great in this case, because we just went for it and it's been really great. There's been no reason why we shouldn't have been going for it, but yeah, it wasn't a hard conversation, which I'm grateful for.
Do you find in your membership that people struggle with putting their marriage as a priority? Like, and let me just preface, like, so we just talked about the reality of having a bunch of small kids, right? And I know in those first years for us, especially that we had them just so rapidly, marriage was just sort of, it became like the thing that there was just no time for. Like I don't know how else to explain it. Like everything else became a priority. Mm-hmm. The house became a priority. The house becoming a priority was, I remember in our first early years, like, oh no, I have to do laundry. We can't go out for dinner, or we can't stop and sit and have a nice conversation. I have to fold the laundry. Mm-hmm. Like I remember for me personally, the house became such an idol almost. Mm-hmm. So what's been your experience with your members? Would you say that's a fairly common challenge?
Oh, 1,000%. And that's the issue that we're trying to respond to, is that your marriage isn't just a relationship. It's not just a living situation. It's your vocation, your vocation. Your kids are not your vocation, your job, your house, your ministry, whatever is not your vocation. So saying, I don't have time, as much as I'd like to, I don't have time to have a date night, whether it's at home or if it's out, whatever that can look like, and say, I don't have time for it. It's similar to saying, I don't have time for prayer. Mm-hmm. And because that, if that is your vocation, your call to holiness, it has to be number one, just the same way that prayer does. And I'm not trying to like elevate your spouse to God, but it's on the same plane because it's your vocation. Mm-hmm. And so if we know the importance, I know we all struggle with making time for prayer, especially entrepreneurs, because there's so many things on your plate, moms, but we know like in the depths of our heart, like prayer has to be a priority no matter how busy you are. If you don't have time for prayer, like there's trouble. And the same, I would argue, is the same as your vocation. If you don't have time for your spouse, you're in trouble. And so it's really a mindset shift of saying, it's not, I don't have time for date nights, I don't have time for my spouse. It's, we have to make time and something has to go. And so I think that our members have, you know, because they've committed to the Catholic date night, they've realized like we have to do something in order to prioritize our marriage. And so they've come to that place of like, yeah, this is benefiting our marriage to be able to have regular, intimate, good discussions, and to be having fun together regularly has been so good for our marriage, and nothing else really matters more because it brings you closer to each other. And because it's your vocation, it brings you closer to God, and yeah, nothing else could be more important.
There's this great comment that's come in here from Teresa. I remember way back when we got married in 1995, and I remember seeing the bulletin announcement about Marriage Encounter. I called them after we got married and they said, after 5 years of marriage, you can join. So we were sort of stuck with joining the CWL and the Knights of Columbus, and there was nothing else. We didn't hear about Teams of Our Lady until about 8 years ago, at which we joined. It would have been great to have something like date night for Catholic couples when we were newly married. So, okay. What I'm curious, what do you and Jesse do? So you obviously have, you've got a couple things that you share on your Instagram. I really want to encourage people to go follow them on Instagram. I've got the link below here in the show notes. What's your handle again? Just so you can say it out loud.
The Catholic Date Night.
The Catholic Date Night. So go follow the Catholic Date Night on Instagram. So I know you do a weekly date night. Right now you're doing alphabet dates, which I think are so cute. What are other things that you do? I wanted you to address two things. How do you personally make time for prayer as a mom of three very small children? Like three very small children, and you are running a business, and you're kind of running two businesses. Like you're running a music ministry type of initiative where you go into parishes and homes and do these beautiful guided, evenings with music and prayer. And then of course this very online business with your monthly membership. What do you do personally to make time for prayer, Kathleen?
I first have to preface it with saying it has looked very different in very many micro seasons of motherhood. And I have and continue to learn to be okay with that and realize that that's okay. Because there have been times where all my kids nap at the same time and I can sit down and have a coffee and have, 20 minutes reading my scripture or the Magnificat, whatever. And that worked for maybe like 6 months. and then it's like, well, a new baby comes along, they don't nap at the same time or whatever, like you're trying to put one down and whatever. And I, right now in my, this current stage of naps and whatever, prayer, after I do morning prayer with my kids, we do kind of like a little sing-song prayer in the morning. I sit down with my Magnificat and they are bustling about and I'm reading the daily scriptures with them around, interrupting me 100 times. And that is what it looks like. And I have chosen and allow the Lord to remind me that there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I would love for it to be silent. But like, I realize that my prayer life, when I have committed to being like, it's okay that it's interrupted. I don't feel like I'm receiving any less grace and strength throughout my day or I haven't lost any intimacy with the Lord. So there's nothing wrong with it. You know,
I have coached many a woman on my prayer life just doesn't look like it did when I was in college. And I'm like, no, duh, it doesn't look like it did when you're in college. In college, you could have your pumpkin spice latte and your rosary and your scented candle. And like, you could sit there like languid if you wanted to in college. Of course, it's not going to look like that. Like, of course, like that's the thing I want to like create on a mug. Like your prayer life doesn't have to look like it did when you were in college. Like, why would anyone... I'm not trying to be picky on people. It's just, it's like, of course it's not going to look like that because you don't have the same ability to just close a door like that. I'm amazed right now, Kathleen, that door to my bedroom right now has not opened like 3 times during this podcast. So anyway, just for all of you who might have be holding on to that thought of like, my prayer life doesn't look like it did blank. Just like, no problem, because you have a bunch of kids. So of course, yes. I read my Magnificat out loud because it's kind of like it signals to my older children. So when we were homeschooling, people were around a lot more. Now they're out the door for school early, so it's not as, not the same. But I to kind of signal to them, like all of you all, like just I used to be like, look at the book I have. I would hold the book up and it didn't matter. And now I literally just read it out loud. And if people are around, I invite them to sit down with me, obviously, and reflect. But I use that as my, like, I'm reading. Praying that all of you listen. Just leave me alone.
Anyway. No, Lisa, can I say one more thing about that is one scripture that has really spoken to me as a mother regarding how prayer has looked different is the story of Martha and Mary and Jesus. And when he says, Mary has chosen the better part and it will not be taken away from her, has really encouraged me to say, like, cause there's times where you're like, well, I just don't have time for prayer. Like, I just don't, I'm a mom. Like there's so many things. And like that language and that mindset has tempted me to like, just be like, oh, I don't have time to prayer. My work will be my prayer, which, is good, but not enough, to say that intimate time with the Lord will not be taken away from me. He promised that. So there will, no matter what stage of life I'm in, there will always be time for prayer. Mm-hmm. And if there's not time, something has to shift, and that has really encouraged me to find a way.
Now we've talked about this like privately. So I won't share anything that you've privately shared with me, but I'll share my struggle. when I do find pockets, so like when the children are napping at the same time, or when just miraculously they're all like getting along and not bothering me, and I could be like, oh yeah, I haven't done my morning. I try to just do it in the morning and have it be kind of checked off, right? But it just inevitably, I get interrupted, something happens. So I don't have drama about it if it doesn't happen first thing. But then of course, I kind of just keep this mental note. Oh, like, don't forget you haven't done your Magnificat yet. Yeah. So my challenge, it's still a big struggle for me, is when a pocket does happen, I'm like, great, I can go work on a funnel. Like, and I'm just like, amazing. And I open my computer and I'm all in Kartra and I'm so excited. I will, to be frank, like always have a tendency to do work. Is that something similar for you, or are you more choice than me?
No, 1,000%, because those pockets of time, you're like, there's only certain things I can do when the kids aren't around. There's some things I can do, like clean up the kitchen, whatever, when they're kind of bustling around. But like, I can't really be on my computer when they're around. So if I have quiet time, I should probably be on my computer. But it's like, actually, maybe I should be praying. It's really hard.
Yeah, it requires, and what it requires is a trust that the thing that you wanted to get done will still get done. And that's truly where I learned this the very hard way a few years ago. It's just like, okay, Lord, do I trust you? If you have entrusted me with this business, with this project, with whatever, and all these children, then I'm going to entrust that you're going to, you know, give me the time. And it might
be the author of time. He can do it.
And here's the thing again, like 16 years of marriage and like basically the same amount of entrepreneurship in like 16 years. That is like 100% true, but it might look different. That's the part that's hard for me. Yeah. It might look different than what I pictured, but the outcome still happens. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I could go on and on about this, but let's talk about enjoyment, because again, you, in the opening of this podcast, you must have said the word fun 6 times in a 60-second span. So what do you and Jesse, you both have sanguine qualities, so you obviously enjoy having fun, right? Mm-hmm. But again, how do you prioritize that?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's so much to say about this, because it's not necessarily just a practical tip or just like something that you just turn on. It involves a lot of intentional, like relational skills with your spouse to be able to just allow fun to be natural. So like, I guess on like looking from a bigger picture, there's some like key mindsets or like approaches that we've had to our relationship that I think have really allowed us to be more joyful. And I think joy in general comes more naturally to my husband. He's just the most joyful person around and easygoing. And so like things are lighthearted and I can be more of a serious person. So I'm grateful that I'm married to somebody who's like that. But I think that the different mindsets have helped us. So like being each other's biggest cheerleader has really allowed us to have fun, because negativity, when I see negativity in marriage, it just makes me cringe. When like, but it's like, it's everywhere. It's in, you know, social media, it's in sitcoms, everything. Just like, it feels like you're supposed to kind of hate on your spouse and you're supposed to kind of like roll your eyes at them. Like that's the kind of relationship you're supposed to have. Like, or like you learn that from like your parents or whatever, and you just happen to do it when you're married. And it just sucks the fun out of everything when you are negative towards your spouse. Mm-hmm. And so we've really chosen to be each other's biggest cheerleader, like in private and in public. And so that allows us to be confident and like enjoy each other's company. Cause we know that like that person's not going to shoot me down for wanting to have fun.
Yeah.
So that has played a big part. And also, playing on the same team, you know, like both giving 100 to your marriage. It's not like I give 50 and you give 50. I'm sure you've heard this many times, but it's so easy to be like, well, I've done my part. Like you have to finish yours. But if you have the same goals together, then rather than seeing each other as like fighting, it's like, how do we get to our goals together? And so that has really helped us find joy. I hope that makes sense, because it's
100%. I think it's just the concept of being your spouse's biggest cheerleader. And you know, I invite people listening, perhaps you're more melancholic or what have you, and maybe fun is not a motivating word for you. So just, I invite people to, if fun's not a motivating word, come up with another word that would be helpful.
Even joy. I think everybody wants joy, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I coach a lot of melancholics. And it's been an interesting thing to observe how melancholics, anyway, talk about, because there's so much a propensity of something to be done the right way. I find melancholics are just constantly disappointed, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's always something better. Anyway, but in my own marriage, so my husband is a very archetypal melancholic, right? And I used to be, I mean, if I'm being honest, it still sometimes grates at me, but it used to really, really, really challenge me. And this is where I come back to manuals. I want to invite people just to reflect for a minute. If you are not your spouse's biggest cheerleader, so meaning if you get frustrated, and these are human, normal things, like, so I'm not trying to like really nitpick at people, but just I invite you to reflect. If you get frustrated when he leaves like his mug not in the sink instead of the dishwasher, or in the sink and not in the dishwasher, or if you get frustrated about the way that maybe he like packs the kids' lunches, or you get frustrated about anything, like literally pick any situation and then just be like, am I being his biggest cheerleader in that moment? And just ask yourself the question and just be really honest about it. I think this is a very, very, very good question. Or even, again, if cheerleader doesn't sort of resonate with people, just, is this the way I can show great support? Like, am I being a supportive spouse? Because here's the thing, who cares? Again, 16 years of marriage, there are lots of people who've been married a lot longer than I have, but I can just tell you with great certainty, it does not matter how your kid's lunchbox is packed. If that bothers you, you're coming into that situation with a manual. There's something you are hanging on to. Is the kid fed? Is there something somewhat nutritious in the lunchbox? That's like it. That's all you need to worry about. Don't worry about anything else. But like these things that we come to in marriage are normal. They're totally normal. But we do have to be aware that, oh, it's actually my preference that's getting in the way of me being my spouse's biggest cheerleader.
Yes. Or another word for that is like assuming their best intentions.
Yeah.
That's something we try to be intentional about, is like, you know, when something doesn't go the way I expected for him or like vice versa, it's like, instead of being like, well, you were being lazy, or like, yeah, you should know that the lunchbox should be a certain way. It's like, actually they were trying to be helpful and they served our family in this way, you know, trying to have that shift.
Whenever I see a dish somewhere like that, why didn't you just put it in the dishwasher? And I even try to do this with my kids, but it's a little harder with my kids. But when I see something like, you could have just put that in the dishwasher, I'm not always great at this, but I try to be like, oh, I bet you anything, like the baby needed him. Right. And so he put the mug down and he attended to the baby. Right. And that instantly dissipates any negativity, yes, any frustration I have, because I'm like, oh my gosh, of course he dropped the mug. And again, I know everyone has preferences, and like, is it nice to walk into a kitchen where there aren't dishes everywhere? Of course it is. But my point is like, can we correct gently? Can we encourage certain things? Absolutely. Right. How am I going to teach my children certain things without telling them like, hey, when we leave, you know, whatever, like, I'm trying to think of the last sort of inconvenient thing. Okay. Here, this is what happened to me this morning. The garbage bag was like basically full. And instead of somebody, one of my older, very able-bodied children, taking out the garbage, putting in a new garbage bag, everybody just kind of piled it on top, but like sat like on top of the bag, you know what I mean? So like, yeah. So then the next person, me, I had to be like, I had to like put my hand in garbage. And so anyways, my point is like, of course, can we teach people how to be considerate? I'm not trying to say don't ever correct or whatever, like, but It's the assumption. It's like making the assumption, this person is against me. That's such a helpful lens to go into your marriage. Okay. So talk to me about date nights, both the Catholic date night, but also how you have fun on your alphabet date nights.
Sure.
Because I'm sure there are people who are thinking like, I don't have time for fun, or why does fun even matter? Like, I don't care about having fun or bringing joy. Like, Why is this such a core component of your marriage, and how do you do that? Let's talk about the how. So maybe tell people about the days of the week. The alphabet date night. What is that all about?
So our date nights in this season of life are all at home. So for all of you who say, I can't get a babysitter, I can't afford date nights, same, but doesn't mean you can't have a date night. All of our date nights lately are all at home. After the kids go to bed, we've been intentional about having a proper bedtime for our kids. They're in bed by 7:30. Obviously, that changes sometimes, but by 8 o'clock, we are hopefully able to sit down and have our date night, always on a Wednesday night. It's blocked off in the calendar. If something comes up on a Wednesday, we put that date night on Thursday or Friday or Saturday. It has to happen. So that's just something we've committed to, and we both know that that Wednesday is saved for us. But because date nights are at home, and because it's every week, honestly, we've kind of like found like, because life is so busy, sometimes we don't plan something fun, or like we are so tired at the end of the day. It's like, oh, it's date night. Like, we're happy to have it, but like we don't have energy to like think of something fun to do. And so then we end up like, I don't know, playing a board game or like just sitting and talking, which is really good. Like, it's not bad that we do those things, but we were like, we need to have do something creative. Like, we just love that. So I had seen on Instagram another couple share that they were doing ABC date nights, which means that each date night is themed around a certain letter. And so we've done it so that we take turns planning it. So we're on C, will be next week. So we're just started, but it's been so good so far. So I planned the A date night, and it was just so simple, just to have a prompt of like what we're going to do. Yeah. So that day I just decided we're going to play arcade games on our computer. And we ate all dressed chips and almonds, like chocolate covered almonds. And listen to music that started with A, something like that.
So cute.
So simple, but it just allowed us to like have a creative prompt, like a theme. And then B date nights, like we ate like Belgian waffles and berries. We played Boggle. So just like so simple, but it just gave us the idea of like, okay, this is something different we can do every date night. And it's just like, whether you buy something or you find something at home, like you can do it. It just gives you a little prompt to have a fun date night. So we've really enjoyed that. So I'm making a highlight on our Instagram story of like all of our letters as we go. And I realized that by the end of the alphabet, yeah, our baby will pretty much almost be born. Like, we'll be around the time the baby was due. Isn't that cool? So
that's so cute. You know, yeah, what I like about this too is that you're thinking about it all day. Like, let's say if you're planning it, you're like, oh, how can I like surprise and delight my spouse? And again, I want to just invite people, think about how much intention you had when you were just dating. Like, again, I'm sure every relationship is different. Maybe some people dated and they didn't have that much intention around date nights, but I can tell you, I planned every outfit I wore. I like thought about, and I know he thought about it too, like, where are we going to go? What restaurant? Like, what would be interesting? How can I get to know him better? Like, I thought about dates with Josh when we were just dating tremendously. Like, I can remember outfits. Like, I can tell you exactly what I was wearing on this date night. There was so much intention. And in those first 2 years of marriage for us, it was like, meh, like, just like, forget it. Like, well, again, I was fixated on laundry. So I wasn't, you know, caring about date night. Okay, I'm going to ask you something very personal. I did not preface you on this. I apologize. But I want to invite you to answer it if you want. Okay. How has a weekly date night impacted your intimacy?
Mm-hmm. Positively, if you could guess the answer. Because I mean, all in that aspect of joy and friendship and just seeing your spouse in a way that it's not always about parenting. It's not always about home ownership. It's just about enjoying that person as they are, as God created them to be. You're enjoying them as a human being, simply in that aspect allows us to be more vulnerable, allows us to be on the same page. Like, I am such a person that I can't believe how, like, nobody told me before I got married how much your mental state would affect your intimate life. Mm-hmm. Like, I kind of was like, it'll just be fun and sexy, and like, I'm gonna be like such a sexy wife, and you know, and like, and be in the initiator. But like, I can't believe how much my emotional state, my mental state, how much feeling on the same page as my spouse affects our intimate life. Because if I don't feel on the same page, if I don't feel like he sees me for just me, if I don't feel like he knows what's on my heart, it's so hard to to be intimate. And like, that makes so much sense, but it's like, I just didn't realize how much harder that would be in marriage. And maybe that's because of like date nights were like easier when you're dating. And then when you're married, there's so many other things on your friggin' brain that are hard to put away. Yes. But when you have a night every single week where it's like, we can talk about parenting, we can talk about business, whatever, but the main goal is just to be together. It takes away all of those, that pile of mental things that are in the way of me being able to be intimate, and just allows us to be together as two human beings who love each other. I can't stress enough how good it has been for our marriage, for the intimacy, for the fun, for our ability to be on the same team, just to be able to have fun and enjoy each other as people every single week.
And I want to come back to two things that we've sort of been the theme of this podcast interview. Being your spouse's cheerleader, it only makes sense if you are going at your day, your week, your month combative, meaning like, I can't believe he didn't do this, or I can't believe he doesn't understand my need for this, or whatever it is. So very you-centered and oppositional. Of course you don't want to have sex with somebody when you're like at each other's.
Yeah,
like,
when you're angsty.
Yeah, of course. Like, again, only natural. That is like a natural consequence. And so it does require there's 100% a mindset of availability mentally, of all that. And I just think, again, it's easier when you're reminded, oh yeah, like my spouse really likes me. Like, in the midst of all the things that we do and that we might disagree on or what have you, or have differences on, my spouse actually really likes me. He likes spending time with me. And so, yeah, I the weekly date night for us, we also, I can't remember what year, it was right around Minivan Meltdown. It was like a big, very important thing for me that we just start dating each other. That had a massive impact on our ability to be intimate and just be, you know, just free. Okay. So then I want to bring up playfulness. Again, I'm putting you on the spot here, but I have conversations with people where sex is very serious, like just so serious. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to be insensitive. Like, if you have discerned that there is grave reason for you to not get pregnant, that's a whole other conversation. But if you've discerned that, and so you're being very, I guess, meticulous or careful around when you are intimate and all that kind of stuff, I can appreciate some of those realities. Like, I can totally appreciate it. But how can playfulness improve your intimate life?
Well, I think that as women, maybe men too, I can't speak for them, but there can be like so much pressure. Maybe it's a personality thing to have sex look a certain way. This is how it's going to progress. Mm-hmm. This is how we're going to feel after and during and all those kinds of things. And it's going to look like a movie. Like, we have a lot of expectations around that. But like, obviously we know that it usually doesn't turn out that way. And it can either be disappointing or it can be more of like a fun experiment. And that's hard as like in that choleric kind of mindset. We are like, I know what sex is going to look like tonight. This is how I want it to go. He's going to initiate in this way and I'm going to respond in this way, those kinds of things. But like, it just doesn't usually work that way because it's two people and you feel different ways at certain times. And sometimes you like certain stuff, sometimes you don't, you know? And so like, I know that those kinds of things come easier to my husband. Like I said, he's a very easygoing, playful person. And so having more fun together in our marriage, having more joyful times together, just enjoying each other and laughing together, that spills over into the bedroom so that, you know, things aren't like serious or have to be a certain way or like unfold like a romantic movie. And yeah, like obviously romance still happens and like I love romance and those aspects are important, but if they don't happen in a certain way and we can laugh about it or something is kind of silly or like times, especially when you're, you know, our baby sleeps in our room and sometimes she wakes up. What? Like, she woke up four times, but we still had a great
time. You had a great time. And again, this all comes back to manuals. We can have manuals, particularly in marriage, about literally everything, including sex and including Catholic sex. Like, there's just so many things that we can have expectations on. And again, if the word playfulness doesn't resonate, hopefully joy does. But I really do think a sense of playfulness, you said fun experimentation, like fun experiment. I do think, regardless of your temperament, regardless of your leanings, regardless of how hard-headed you might think you or your spouse is, if you view it as an experiment, we're just going to experiment. Like this, we're going to experiment with how I'm going to experiment with how my husband packs the kids' lunches. This is an experiment. Like, just even that word, I think, could really transform a lot of marriages. Okay, so final thing I want to talk about is fun experiment in entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. You are such a valued member of my mastermind. You are such a valued, you know, person to me, because I've told the story many times. Like, I had invited you into one of my life coaching programs many times, and you very, very politely said no many, many times. And then you eventually said yes. And then you were in my business world for many, you know, for as long as I've been running it, I think, practically. Like, you were one of the early people. And then you jumped on in the mastermind. Like, and it's just been a joy to coach you and a joy to support your business. How do you and Jesse, or do you and Jesse, like, is it easy for you to see business as a fun experiment?
In general, yes. Like I keep saying, it comes more easy to him than it does to me. And I do more of the kind of back end admin stuff. He's more of the face and the fun and the, he's really great at relational ministry, that kind of thing. So whereas I like the event planning detail stuff. So I, have been challenged in a positive way by the mastermind and your coaching to allow it to be more of an experiment, and that's okay. But like to have your and Stephanie's, in the mastermind, your mastermind leader,
crime, yeah,
partner in crime, as basically like business team members to like talk about what we're doing and to have your expertise, but also your mindset coaching, like on all the levels of what's needed, and also knowing that you know the heart of ministry. Like, Lisa, when you went public with making your business Catholic, that's when I was on board. Like, that's when I was like, this is what I want. Like, that's what was the changer for me. Mm-hmm. And so being able to know that you and Stephanie are Catholic, so you understand like our values, you understand our goals, you understand what our priorities could be. Both, like, even if our business wasn't specifically Catholic, both just like knowing what's important to a Catholic and as a Catholic mom, gives us the freedom to experiment in a way that was within the boundaries of what our values are, you know, like as like, you know, a melancholic person, like experimenting is hard because it's like, well, I don't want to do my own experiment. I want to like learn from someone else's experiment and do it correctly.
Yeah.
But having both your experience and your Catholic lens, coaching us in our business allows me to know that my experiment is not going to go beyond, something that I'm comfortable with. You know, it's going to be something that is always centered towards Christ and always centered towards, doing things in an excellent way, which is both things that we care about so much. And so when this mastermind is over, I don't know what I'm going to do. Just kidding. But I'm so grateful.
You're going to join us again. That's what
exactly.
I want to work with you forever. One of the things that I appreciate about this round of the mastermind that's been a little bit different, and this is definitely a direct correlation of Stephanie's skills. What I really like that we're doing this time a little differently is, for example, we are getting very intimate in the business. So it's like we are on your team. So for example, I'm so excited that we just recently looked very specifically at your email stats. And what's interesting about statistics is like when you are looking at your statistics, so if you're not familiar with what I'm talking about, meaning just how many people actually opened your email and then how many people actually clicked on an email and then did that result in a purchase of some kind, right? I think sometimes when and this is true for me as well, like this is why I'm very grateful to have Stephanie in my own business. When I'm looking at my own stats, I can sometimes get a little lazy about it, or like, meaning just like, I'll deal with that later. Like I don't have the same in my own business, I think, curiosity. Like I am curious, but I kind of just move on to something else. it's been helpful to have Stephanie force me to be like, no, we're going to remain curious on that thing. And so in yours, it's been really fun to be like, you had like really decent statistics, but then in this one particular email, like what happened here? And so it's been really interesting to just be like, okay, let's see, how was that worded? Where did people maybe stop reading? Like, could we like change this? And again, I think when you're in, again, I'm speaking very personally, like when you're just raising a bunch of kids, trying to focus on your marriage, you might have an intention to go back and like, oh, okay, let's change that. But then you forget, or you just move on to something else or something more pressing. It's so interesting to me to have a few different eyeballs that are not going to kind of forget. Like, it's like, oh no, here, let's go back. Let's like actually see that. So, and you're just such a valued member. Like, you're very encouraging. You ask such great questions. You are one of the most coachable people I've ever worked with. You are incredibly coachable. You take feedback, you take it very graciously, you contribute to others. And it's just been such a joy to have you. So yeah, I hope we work together. I hope we make lots of impact on Catholic marriages everywhere. To that note, I really want to share and encourage. Go check out the Catholic Date Night. There's two things I want to encourage people to do. Check out the Catholic Date Night. Like, come, she's got a free trial. Like, go sign up for the free trial. You've got below this, wherever you're watching this or listening, I've got a link to a beautiful lead magnet that Kathleen has created around how to pray with your spouse, a really great resource for you that's totally free. So please feel free to go and download that. But I want to just pause because I know I have a lot of listeners who are in the Southern Ontario and surrounding area. Kathleen, tell us about what you and Jesse are doing live and in person for groups.
We are finally bringing the Catholic Date Night in person. So we've been doing this virtually since we started, and now it is time to bring this in person. And so we are basically offering the opportunity, if parishes or even just like in-home communities, if you have a group of friends, you want to have your couple friends over for a night, we will come to your house and we will host a Catholic date night right at your house or right in your parish hall. Just talk to your pastor, talk to your friends. And there's I'll put the link in, I'll send the link to you, Lisa, to put in the notes of how to book us. But we're happy to chat about finding a date sometime this fall, or even the new year, if you really want for us to come to your parish or your community to host a Catholic date night for you and your married couple friends. There's music, there's lots of laughter, there's intimate discussion. We will guide everybody in prayer. And I cannot wait to just see a room full of married couples praying over each other. Like, how powerful will that be? I cannot wait to see it happen. So we're excited and also nervous because this is new, but it's going to be awesome. So if that sounds like something you and your married couple friends would love, we'd love to hear from you.
And the Catholic Date Night, you definitely like to help people who are in their first few years of marriage, but is it also open to anybody regardless of how many years they've been married?
Yeah, I mean, I would say so. I think that the people who will benefit the most are probably in your first 10 years of marriage. A lot of that has to do with, because that's where we are at. We've been married almost 8 years now. So we feel like we can speak best to people who are in this same stage of life, newly married, young kids, or you maybe even know kids. It's kind of the same kind of mindset that we're in. I think that's our target people. But the things that we talk about apply to anyone of any stage of marriage. But
yeah. And they're just like, again, fun. Like, I have so much fun every single time that I watch a Catholic date night. And P.S., they are pre-recorded. So you are able to just, there's like literally just no excuse. So meaning if you can't make it at a certain time, no big deal, because you can just do it whenever you want. Now, it will require you some discipline to actually open the computer, press play and do it. But being
just minimal discipline,
minimal.
Play.
You know how to watch Netflix. Yes. You can do the Catholic date night. And again, it's going to lead to a lot more virtue than like most of the stuff on Netflix. Kathleen, where can people go again one more time to learn more about you and all of the work that you and Jesse do?
So we're on Instagram at the Catholic Date Night. Also, our music ministry is We Are Found Together is our handle. And our website is thecatholicdatenight.com.
So good. Kathleen, thank you as always. You are such a delight to spend time with. I'm so excited that we're now like in driving distance of each other. So I'm excited to see you at Wealth Without Guilt Live. You can still get tickets both in person and virtually, where Kathleen and Jesse are going to be creating a beautiful prayer music experience for us on the Friday evening of Wealth Without Guilt. And yeah, just I'm so grateful for you and everything you're doing. Thanks, Kathleen.
Thank you.
Are you a dream-chasing mom who wants to keep God at the center of her personal and business development? If that is you, I want to invite you to join me inside of my brand new group coaching experience, Wealth Without Guilt. This group coaching experience is for the emerging or experienced business owner who wants to clear up her mindset, clear up her thoughts around money, around her mission, needs the reminder and the clarity that there is something that she uniquely has been called to do, and that unique mission has been placed there by God. Wealth Without Guilt is an experience where you will get live coaching from me on your mindset, on the thoughts that are holding you back, as well as practical training, practical skills on how to build a personal brand online via my over 10 years experience building a business and a brand both online and off. Wealth Without Guilt is for the entrepreneur who wants to ensure she is not going to sacrifice her faith, her family, or what matters most. She wants to build a business and build impact and build wealth, all while being the best mom, wife, and homemaker she can be. And you can join me inside Wealth Without Guilt today. Doors are open today by visiting bit.ly/wealthwithoutguilt. That's bit.ly/wealthwithoutguilt. I'd love to see you inside our community.